Welcome to worship at Southridge Online, where our mission is to help those who do not know Christ come to know Him, and those who do, to become more like Him. Hope you enjoy this service.
Little boy was told by his mother that it was God who makes people good, to which the little boy replied, "Yes, I know it's God, but mothers help a lot." Happy Mother's Day, and I'm so glad you're here today. I hope you don't do what I read about one family who got together on Mother's Day at mom's house, and they, of course, lots of food and lots of dishes and all of what that meant, and a great time of being together. And daughter was watching mom, who was in the kitchen, and she walked in there and said, "Mom, you don't have to do dishes on Mother's Day." And oh, she was so touched by that comment. She thought, "This is really great." And her daughter added, "They'll wait till tomorrow." Some of you are here with your mother, and we're glad that you are. And some of you are with your mother, honoring her in your thoughts, because both by distance or by death, you are reminded of the value of your mom. It's interesting how mom's value changes the older you get. When you're 4, you may think mom can do anything. 8, mom knows a lot. 12, mom knows nothing. 14, she knows even less. 16, she's old-fashioned. By 25, well, she might know a little bit. 35, before we make a decision, let's ask mom's opinion. 45, wonder what mom would think about this. And by the time you get to be 65, you're saying things like, "I wish I could talk this over with mom." Mother's Day has a variety of responses. Some of you were blessed with godly mothers, nurturing, caring, supportive, spiritual leader in your house, and you need to thank God for that. Some of you didn't have all of that, and some of you may have struggled with some of that, especially on Mother's Day. You're struggling with, well, how could I be thankful for mom when mom wasn't? And some of you are here wishing you were a mother, and time has passed you by. And for whatever reason, you're not a mother and never will be a mother. And so there are lots of emotions on Mother's Day. Some of you are old enough to remember Mother's Day and the importance of flowers and what flowers meant. Some churches that you've been in, perhaps youngest mother, oldest mother, mother with the most children, you remember all those kind of ways of doing that. And a few years ago, I kind of developed a thought about motherhood and about Mother's Day in particular. Because Mother's Day is hard for a pastor to preach on. I'm just going to tell you. You don't mess with moms and apple pie. Hello? And if you say something to, you can really get in hot water quickly. When we read the text I'm going to read, you're going to go, and you're going to preach, yes, we're going to talk about that today. But Mother's Day is one of those days that is a feel-good day. And it should feel good. And you should thank God for a godly mother. But we honor moms, and we worship God. I've been in some worship services on Mother's Day that I wondered who we were worshiping. And I want us to be clear, and you'll hear that in this message today. We need to honor moms. It is God's command. And honoring is not worshiping, and honoring is not always obeying, and we'll get to that in a little bit too. But if you're a mom, would you stand, please? Amen. Well, no, don't sit down yet. One of the hardest jobs about being a mom is that it never ends. It never ends. No matter how old your children are, you're still mom. No matter how much you have tried to make them independent, hopefully they still come to you and ask you for a variety of things. God has blessed you with the privilege of being a mom. And that's an important thing to understand in our culture, which is tearing down the value of family. God honors family. And God honors you. And we honor you this morning. And I'd like to pray. Would you join me, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, for these women who are standing in this place, having walked through the privilege of being a mom. God, still today, nurturing, caring, loving, praying for, supporting children who sometimes are obedient and sometimes are not. I thank you, God, that you've given them strength, spiritual strength on this day to be in this place where they recognize that you are the source of their strength. Father, on those nights that they remember when they didn't know how they would make it through the night because of illness or something that was consuming their thoughts, God, you gave them strength. And their testimony today is that you have always been faithful. I thank you, God, that moms are standing in this place thanking you for the children you've given them. Thankful for the gift of life, for the gift of the love of their children and the support of their children. And some are here today with their children, and I thank you for that, God. Pray that you'd bless these women as they seek to follow you. Father, motherhood can be a romantic kind of notion, but it is a notion of the heart. You have given mothers love that's never taught in a book. It's just experienced because of the love of Christ in each. And so I thank you, God, that the ability to love, the ability to care, the ability to encourage, the ability to be patient, all come from you as a spiritual gift. Bless these moms, I pray, and thank you for their homes and their families. Pray, God, that their families would follow you. And ask all this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, moms. Please be seated. I was a couple of weeks ago, my wife's been, we've been cleaning out some of our storage spaces in the basement, and my wife found something that she had never found. It was an autograph book of her mother's. Now, her mother was born in 1921, and this was written in 1935. She didn't even know she had it. And found in that notebook, that her mom autograph book, that was precious, that now, however many years ago that is, 65, 83 years ago, these were written, and they're valuable, and she read some of those and hanging on to those. Mom's advice is one of those things that kind of lingers in your mind. Perhaps you have some of that mom's homespun wisdom that you continue to hang on to. It's just one of those things that's a part of who you are. Mom's example, and is important. A teacher was teaching a student about fractions and said, there are seven people in your family and there are six pieces of pie. How much pie are you going to get? Student spoke up and said, 1/6. The teacher said, no. There are seven of you and there are six pieces of pie. How much pie are you going to get? The student said, 1/6. The teacher said, no, you don't understand fractions. To which the student said, you don't understand my mom. Some of you identify with that, amen? You understand what I'm talking about. As we think about mom's sacrifice and honoring moms today, would you turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And it's my intent this morning to preach about honoring your father and mother. I will not preach this again on Father's Day. So we're going to include both today. But I also want you to know that in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be starting my summer series. This year will be in the book of Philippians. And we'll be starting that the first Sunday of June. We're continuing the series in the I Am series of Jesus, and that will be finishing next week. Chapter 15 of Matthew, we read these words. Then Pharisees and scribes came from Jerusalem to Jesus and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat. Now, there was a superstition that a demon could get on the hands of people when they went out in the marketplace. And so they had to wash their hands a lot. And they even had specific ritual washings of how they washed their hands. They washed them with palms up and water would run down. You had to wash your hands the right way, or you were ritually unclean. So this is the question. And Jesus responded by saying, and why do you break God's commandment because of your tradition? Now, that didn't answer their question, did it? Jesus was pretty good about that. Jesus said, for God said, honor your father and your mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. One of the commandments of God, Ten Commandments, found in Exodus chapter 20. Jesus went on to say, but you say, whoever tells his father or mother, whatever benefit you might have received from me is a gift committed to the temple. He does not have to honor his father and mother. Now, what you need to understand about that is they developed a tradition. And some of your Bibles may have it in the margin or maybe have it even in the translation. They had it called Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. And here's what that means. Let me give you a practical advice, practical illustration of that. If you had $100 that you wanted to dedicate to the temple, you set that aside and called it Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N, and it was dedicated to the temple and dedicated to God. And if your parents needed $100 because of a serious need, not because they wanted to go buy an iPhone, well, you can't buy one for $100, but anyway, not because they had a frivolous need, but if they had a serious need, you could not take that money. In fact, you could tell them, well, Mom or Dad, that money's already dedicated to God, and I know you need it, but you can't have it. And so they neglected the commandment to honor your parent and use the excuse that it's dedicated to God. We'll come back to that in a little bit, but that's an important understanding of what's going on here. So Jesus said in verse number 6, he does not have to honor his father and mother. In this way, you have revoked, or some translations say, nullified God's word because of your translation. Now, what they've done is they've picked and chose what they want to obey. Y'all get that? Well, I know God said honor father and mother, but you know, it says in Scripture that if you make a vow to God, you must keep it. So we'll keep that one, and we won't honor our father and mother. And obviously, Jesus was not very happy about that because he said, hypocrites. By the way, that's not a good word. And so these religious people who were dedicating money to God through the temple, Jesus called them hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied correctly about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching his doctrines the commands of men. Summoning the crowd, he said to them, listen and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Honor your father and mother. What does that mean? Well, when you think about the word honor is defined in lots of ways. Honor means to revere, respect, value highly. Pulpit commentary says this, in God's view, honor to parents is not only shown in outward salutations, obedience, and respect, but also in material assistance, providing for their needs and freely given whenever necessary. God, Jehovah God, commanded honor your father and mother. To violate that is a sin against God. Honor means to care for them when there's a need. Honor means to treat with respect. Honor means to listen to their advice. Honor means you hold them in high esteem. And God has some things to say about that. Look at these scriptures. There's a lot of them. I don't know that you'll have time to even write down the reference. Leviticus 19:32 says, you are to rise in the presence of the elderly and honor the old. Fear your God, I am Yahweh. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. Proverbs 4:1, listen, my sons, to a father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Now you might like all the rest of these. Buckle up. Deuteronomy 21:18-21 says this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and does not listen to them even after they discipline him, his father and mother must take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city, to the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of the city will stone him to death. You must purge the evil from you, and all Israel will hear and be afraid. Leviticus 20, verse 9, if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother, his blood is on his own hands. Exodus 21, 15, whoever strikes his father or mother must be put to death. Exodus 21, 17, whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death. Proverbs 30, verse 17, as for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, may ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. Ew, that's gross. No, that's how serious God is about honoring your parents. I mean, God's pretty serious about that. And some of you would have dead children by now. Hello? Some of you would. No, don't. You understand that God takes honoring seriously. It is not one of those commands that we should, you know, when we recite the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, how many of you could recite all ten? Don't answer that. You ought to at least be able to recite all ten. And if you don't know how to do that, it's Exodus chapter 20, and this week you ought to spend some time looking at them. God did not rescind honor your father and your mother. Oh, you got that. No, he did not rescind it. It is serious business when we talk about honor your father and your mother. And God takes that seriously. God commands it to us. And we need to understand that honoring your father and mother is more than just one day a month, one day a year. It's like Thanksgiving. I was thankful in November. I'm done. We do that sometimes when it comes to honoring your father and mother. You know what? Got to call mom today. Well, you should if she's alive. You ought to go see her if you can. On this day, when you honor your father and mother, they'll really know if you're honoring them if you do it in December or in August or in March. So what's the connection between honor and obey? Well, thank you for asking. Hello? Are y'all okay? Are you all right? Too hot? Too cold? Don't answer that. There was a cartoon in the update, if you haven't seen it, about submit a survey and we'll kind of average them and then put the temperature that way because try to make those who are too hot, never mind. What's the connection between honor and honor obey? Honor is fairly clear. Honor means you respect and hold in high esteem. It's obviously, in this passage of Scripture, an adult relationship. Y'all get that? These are obviously adults who have told their parents, well, I know you have a need, but we're not going to help you. And Jesus obviously said, when he calls them hypocrites and condemns them for the way they've treated their parents, Jesus obviously is telling them that honor your father and mother has not been rescinded, and you need to honor your parents, especially when they're old and they have needs. But is there a correlation between honor and obey? Well, yes, there is. In fact, it says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Fathers, do not stir up anger or exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here you go. You ready? If you are a child, not an adult child, if you are a child, do you know what you're supposed to do to your parents? Obey them. Now, it's clear in Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul said, obey your parents as you would the Lord. Now, let's chew on that for just a minute. Does the Lord Jesus ever ask you to do anything that's going to be harmful to you? Does he ever ask you to do anything that's illegal or immoral? No. You are to obey your parents as you would to the Lord. So if your parents ask you to lie, you don't have to lie. If your parents ask you to do something illegal, then you don't have to do it. There are some parents who have abused their parental authority and abused their children both verbally and physically by saying, you are my child, you will do what I say. That is an abuse of the command of God. A child does not have to obey a parent who says, I want you to do this because if it is illegal, immoral, or is indeed going to be harmful to the child, a child does not have to obey. But a child learns obedience at home, but must be taught obedience. Oh, preacher, here you go. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. That's in the book of Proverbs. You know what that means? That means, I've seen this. I will. Let's take it out of the realm of children, and let's take it into the realm of a pet, a dog. Dogs are wonderful pets, if they're trained. If a dog is not trained and allowed to do whatever the dog wants in the house, that dog will become wild and unruly. Say amen. That dog will do what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, without discipline and training. Now, I know years ago we used to do this, and I've learned from some dog trainers. We had a dog one time who didn't know where the outside was. And so we had the idea that we'd go over there and stick the dog's nose in it and swat it on the butt. And the trainer said, dog doesn't remember what that dog did. That's what the trainer told us. You don't train a dog by sticking the nose in and swatting on the, you train it. Is there a way to discipline children that may or may not include corporal punishment? Yes. However you train a child, you listening? A child must be taught to obey. It doesn't come natural. Say amen. It doesn't come natural for you as an adult. It doesn't come natural for a child. If a child is allowed to do whatever a child wants to do, please listen. If a child is allowed to do whatever a child wants to do, that child will become wild and unruly and, listen, a danger to themselves when they become an adult. You do not do a child a favor by not disciplining it. Well, I love my child and I don't want to discipline him. Please understand, if that's your attitude, do not be surprised when your child is a problem. When children say no or disrespectful to a parent, you know who the problem, where the problem lies? The parent. I love watching children in the stores. I can tell very quickly who runs that house. You can tell. You can watch. All you have to do is watch. Watch a child throw a tantrum and watch mom or dad give in. Preacher, you're meddling on Mother's Day. Yes, I am. But it's also a lesson that fits into this story, because obedience must be learned. And when it's learned, are you listening? A child will also honor. There was a lot of time when my son was disobedient to his parents. For those of you who don't know, we have one son. He's 36. For a number of years, we had some issues with Aaron. We'll just say it that way. You don't need to know all the details. Aaron, at one time, was extremely disobedient to his parents. And we tried to be consistent and have since learned, because he has, as it was said of the prodigal son, came to his senses. We have since learned in some conversations that occur every so often that he learned a lot from us disciplining him. A visitor from a foreign country came to the United States and observed parents and children for a while, and this is what he said. I've learned that teachers are afraid of principals. Principals in the school are afraid of superintendents. Superintendents are afraid of the board. The board members are afraid of the parents. The parents are afraid of the children. And their children are afraid of nobody. Warning, parents. Being a parent, and particularly in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, in your discipline of your children, Ephesians 6:4 says, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them, rather bring them up with a discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Obedience and abuse, there's a fine line between those two. The parent who exercises absolute control over a child is not following the biblical teaching. Say I'm here. Well, there's four of you who are here. Continuous criticism and rebuke of your children is not creating an obedient child. I know that from experience. Continuous criticism and rebuke of a child that breaks their spirit is not creating an obedient child, is creating a rebellious child. But clear as it can be, we are commanded as children to obey your parents. What's that mean? Obey your parents. Well, what happens when you become an adult? Yeah, now you've got another story. I know some parents who believe that it is always, always, you're supposed to obey me no matter how old their adult child has become. Seen it a few times where a very controlling parent with now adult children says, this is what I want you to do, and expects unconditional obedience of an adult child. Can I tell you what that is? Wrong. A child, when reaches adulthood, as the scripture is clear about marriage, that when a man and woman come together, they leave and cleave to one another. I'm pretty sure that that means that when mom used to say jump, now son doesn't have to say how high. Now, if you're one of those controlling parents who thinks that your adult child should do everything you say, I have a surprise for you. You're not going to like some of this right now. Because that's not teaching your child biblical principles, that's exerting control. Now, what does it mean when the Bible is clear about honoring your parents when you are an adult child? It's pretty clear that as we look at this passage of Scripture, that Jesus is condemning these adult children who have refused to honor their parents. It's pretty clear that this new relationship that both a husband and wife enter to, and I believe single adults enter into, means that there is no longer the requirement that an adult child must obey their parents. But there is no rescinding of honoring your parents. You read that and you say, well, what does that mean for my life? Why didn't God just tell us that when my mom or dad says something, I don't have to listen to them anymore? No, you do need to honor them, and that may require listening to them. You may have a parent who likes to dispense advice. You're an adult, and you may have a parent who likes to dispense advice. Don't raise your hand, especially if they're here. Okay? And they like to dispense advice. And you say, well, am I supposed to do everything they say? If you do everything they say, you fill in the blank. If you do everything your parent tells you to do, you're going to feel, well, let's just be honest, you're going to feel like you're still a child. And you're an adult. And that's not what God intends for you. What does this passage of Scripture have to do with Mother's Day? It has everything to do with Mother's Day. Because some of you may have a controlling parent. I had one of those who, whenever I would do something that she didn't like, would say things like, why do you want to do that? Or, well, I don't understand why. And I continually felt that criticism. And I'm ashamed to say that there were times in my life as an adult child where I would revert to being a child that was living in her home. I'm embarrassed to say that to you, but I had to learn that lesson and learn that lesson when we came to a crossroads about something in our lives. You may be a parent who's today wondering, why are your children not obeying you? It's because they're adults. So that when we look at this text and we ask the question, who comes first, God or the parents? Well, that's really the question. Who comes first? Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10, please. And if you're confused, just wait. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So who comes first? This is talking about a relationship where one or the other will be a Christian. You got that? Come to turn a man against his father. He's supposed to honor his father. But honoring your father is difficult if dad's not a believer and you are. Are you with me? A daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. This is talking about faith. This is talking about you as a follower of Christ are either born again or you're not. If you're born again and your family member is not, you're coming from two different sides of philosophies of how you live life. Do you still honor the person who is not a believer? The answer is yes. If you are the believer as an adult child and your mother or father is not a believer, you must, it is commanded by God, you must honor your parent. Can that be challenging? And the answer is absolutely. But honoring has never been rescinded. You need to understand with me that when you look at this text, and that we read in Matthew 15, Jesus is saying, you are to honor your mother and father. That means you respect them, you care for them, you honor them. In their old age, you take care of them as every way you possibly can. And many of you know what that's like. Having provided for parents both in home or in a nursing home, you know how important it is to value them and honor them. You know what it's like when you stand at their casket. I'm looking across this room, and I've been here with you for 10 years. I've stood beside some of you as you stood in those places, and it was difficult caring for mom or dad, and it was challenging for you doing that. But when they died, you had a sense of, I honored mom and dad, and I thank God for the privilege, as hard as it was. You need to honor your parents. You see, you understand that. I'm giving a testimony when I say to you that my mom and I sometimes had struggles. She was a bitter, critical woman. And when she would go in the nursing home, I would drive 2 hours to St. Louis to see her. And within a short while, we had talked out. And I was ready to come home, but stayed. And there were many times on my drive back home, I'd wonder why I would spend all that time in the car until I stood at her casket. And I knew that God had called me to honor my mother. You need to understand that honoring can be a challenge. You might have had an honorable, loving, gracious, caring, supportive, encouraging, spiritual leader for a mother. And if you had that, you need to thank God all the time. But if you didn't, you still have to honor your mother and father. You see, Jesus Christ is to be first in your life, but you're still supposed to honor your parents. And so if your parents are dead, you can honor them today with your memory. Say amen. You can honor them as you think about them, and you might think about how they blessed you and what they did in your life. And some of the things that you do today are the direct result of what your parents did. That's just the impact they've had in your life. Some of you are in church today because your parents brought you to church as a child. Some of you know Jesus because you saw him in your home. You need to thank God for that. And if your parent is alive and they don't know you because of dementia, you still need to honor that parent. Dishonor for your parents cannot be excused by saying, well, I went to church and heard a sermon about honoring God, honoring parents. Do not try to excuse your care for your parents by saying, well, I followed Jesus. If you're a child in this room who's still living at home under your parents, you're under adult age, and your parent is constantly complaining about you not obeying them, you know how you fix that? Obey them. Hello? Every parent in this room should have said amen if you have children at home. That's how you fix that obedience thing. You obey your parents. You disagree with them? Talk it out. Every situation is unique. But the Word of God is clear. An adult child had been sexually abused by her father. But when her adult father could no longer live by himself, the adult child who had a sense of honor your father and mother brought that father who had abused her into her home to care for him when he could not care for himself. Can you say that would have been tough? But that's honoring your parent. There are some nursing homes who today will be filled with people who come to see their adult mom. Sometimes mom won't remember them. I remember a story I read a long time ago where someone asked, why do you go see your mom who doesn't remember you? And the response to that is, I'm not doing it for her. I'm doing it for me. There's much truth when we think about honoring our parents. And what I'd like for you to do in this moment is to close your eyes with me, please. Whether you had a supportive or a non-supportive mom, whether your mom's with you, whether your mom's gone to heaven, I would like you to do something with me. I just want you to thank God in your own words and honor your mom now. Perhaps there are things that you wish you could talk over with mom, especially if she's died. You'd want to say, you know, if I could just talk with mom about this. We worship God. We honor mom. But maybe you need to right now just thank God for the spiritual example of your mother, who's brought you to faith in Christ, and today you would say, I'm a child of God, and I thank him for my mom's spiritual influence. If that's appropriate, please say that to God. And finally, this morning, while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, if God has spoken to you this morning about something that you need to do in some way to honor your mom or dad, and he's already spoken to you and you know that you've heard it, would you say, Lord, help me to do that as quickly as possible? If your mom or dad are alive and you're not in the habit of saying thank you, perhaps that would be a good thing to do today. If your mom or dad are alive, thank you always is valued. You might even say, I've not always obeyed you, but I've appreciated you, and I thank you for being my mom. Father, we have sung songs of worship to you already. And we know that in this worship service, you have reminded us of the gift of a mom or a dad, mom and a dad. You've given us spiritual nourishment, spiritual direction, discipline which we sometimes did not like. And yet, Father, you've told us to obey and honor. I thank you today that in this worship time, you have given us a picture of yourself, of how you love us unconditionally, even more than our parents. that, Father, maybe some of us have kind of gone our own way and we've kind of veered off course and we've chosen to be disobedient to you, yet your arms are always open to receive us back. May that repentance be real today. And on this day, as we thank you for our mother and father, most of all, we thank you for Jesus. Now, Father, as we come to this invitation time of being reminded that our response to you reflects our faith, give us the courage to trust you and to follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand with me as Reuben leads us in singing, please. Appropriate words.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still and with all.
Again, happy Mother's Day. I'm glad you're here. We have just a couple of reminders. On the back table over here, having had Mission JC part of our experience last month, there's a survey that we're asking you to complete. Many of you received that online. I hope if you completed that, you'll bring your completed copy back here. If you would, stay around for a few moments. Take that, complete it. Shouldn't take you very long. Grab a pencil and just jot down your responses to that. Looking for feedback. Feedback is always good. Feedback is always good.
Uh-huh.
Feedback is all, well, I didn't participate. Well, that's okay. There's a spot on here to say why you didn't participate. And you don't have to put your name on it. Well, I'm just not going to complete it. Well, be that way, you know. But we'd like for you to at least give some feedback if you think Mission JC is a good idea, but I couldn't participate because, well, I don't think it's a good idea. You can mark that down too, and you don't even have to leave your name. Summer camps coming up. Fishing tournament coming up. I'm hawking paper today. Fishing tournament coming up. And perhaps the better news, not the best news, because the best news is always Jesus. Better news is Larry Ayers is moved to a regular room out of intensive care.
Amen.
And that's 1 week after his stroke/brain bleed. So that's a very good thing. He's in Boone County Hospital, room 632. If some of you have been holding off going to see him, you could do that. They're welcome visitors, but still, keep them short. You don't need to go in and move in, but we certainly would be glad for you to do that, and they'll be glad to see you. That's a good word. Wonderful. 1 week after his stroke surgery to be moved, that's a huge deal. And it's Mother's Day. So be kind to your mother. Honor your mother, and if she does the dishes, no, just kidding. All right, well, God bless y'all. I hope you have a great week. Remember whose you are. See you next Sunday.